The Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
There's a story of a young preacher who had his very first church, and as preachers sometimes do, he would get on a hobby horse and preach the same thing over and over. And he was preaching on baptism every Sunday. It was baptism, baptism, baptism. And so the deacons got together and they said, well, we got to do something to get him on a different topic. I mean, we've heard baptism now for weeks on end. And they thought and they thought. Somebody said, okay, here's a verse, Matthew 3:10, that says, even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. And they said, well, there's no way he can take that and turn that into baptism. So they said, preacher, here's this verse, Matthew 3:10, and so preach on that next Sunday. He said, okay, I will. So they got there with great anticipation, and finally, a sermon other than baptism. He said, folks, this morning my text is Matthew 3:10. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. And you know why the axe was laid to the root of the trees? Because they were cutting a path through the woods to the river to have a good old-fashioned baptism. And that's the opening of today's edition of Exploring the Word. Folks, we welcome you. My name is Alex McFarland. With me is Jim Stanley. And this is a program where we teach the Word of God, and then we take your questions. And so later in the show, we will open up the phones and take your questions. And the number, if you want to call, is 888-589-8840. But Jim, very often, the reason I told that old story, that joke is so old it has cobwebs on it, but we get people that do call us and they ask about baptism. And
that's
what
right.
is the relationship to salvation and baptism? And most importantly, the question is, do you have to be baptized in order to go to heaven? And
right.
so how about we tackle this today, shall we?
I think we should. And folks, I wish you guys could have heard Alex and I as we were talking earlier this afternoon in preparation for the show. And we were kind of preaching to each other back and forth. And so that was a hoot for me because I always enjoy hearing Alex. And but this is a topic that we're both passionate about. Because I think baptism is one of those things that is a point of contention that shouldn't be, because the different ways that baptism takes place, be it immersion, be it pouring, be it sprinkling, you know, be it those different types of things, there's discontent about that. There's discontent about if it is a primary need for salvation. And then, you know, of course, again, there's the discontent about when it happens. And so through Alex and I were talking about that, and throughout the scripture, we see that baptism follows salvation. And so that's, it's not a guarantee of salvation. It's an expression of what's happened in the heart and a testimony to the church around them. So Alex, as we begin that today, we didn't get to pray before the program began. But because of this topic and because of the things that we're going to cover, let's just take a moment and pray.
That's a good idea.
All right? Pray for us, brother.
Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you in prayer, and we thank you so much for the Word of God, and we thank you for the Bible that we have that is the tells us about the Son of God and the way of salvation and the roadmap for life. And so, Lord, we ask for your Holy Spirit to take control and bless Jim and myself and Brent, and please, Lord, equip us to accurately handle your word.
Mm.
And we thank you that we can be baptized into Jesus. And as best we understand your word, that's through repentance and faith. We are in Christ. And so maybe somebody listening, Lord, needs to make sure of that. And maybe they've been to church or signed a card or done a lot of the outward rituals, but they need the inward reality of conversion. So, Lord, we pray if there's anyone listening to this show today and they don't know for sure, that they would make sure by opening their heart, turning to Christ, and putting their faith in Jesus alone for their forgiveness and salvation. Lord, we thank you for this show. We commit it to you, and we ask for great fruit to result. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, Alex, one of the first things, let's go ahead and get it out of the way. How is baptism to be performed?
Well, good question. Good question. Baptism is something, as I understand the New Testament and the early church and church history, but the Word of God, baptism is something whereby a believer, once you're born again, you identify with Christ and the local church by being baptized. And the word baptizo is a Greek word, and it really means to put something under water. Because, I mean, they, in ancient literature, they even found where they spoke of a ship that sank. Baptizo, it went under the water. So I believe, Jim, in believer's baptism by immersion. And, you know, very often preachers will say, and I've done this I don't know how many times, I'm sure you have too, but when you baptize somebody, you say, buried in the likeness of his death, raised to walk in newness of life, or something like that. But I believe water baptism administered by the local church is to be immersion. And again, it has to be preceded by conversion. And folks, we want to be clear, and I'm sure we'll say it, you know, a half a dozen different ways. It is not water baptism that saves you. Just like a wedding ring, you know, putting on a wedding band is not what gets you married. What gets you married is before God and witnesses, you and your spouse say, I do. Now, wearing that wedding band shows the world that you are married, just like having been baptized with the local church shows the world that you're a believer. But you know, the old saying, if you're not born again, you know, you'll go down a dry sinner and come up a wet sinner. So the question is, and we're going to talk about this, do you have to be water baptized to go to heaven? We're going to get there in a minute. But to your question, Jim, baptism is by immersion.
And folks, you may have noticed that Alex used the phrase believer's baptism. And we need you to understand that what we mean by that is someone who has given their life to Christ and who has professed a new relationship with Christ, and that he is their Savior, that they have been bought with a price, and that they are no longer their own. But in 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And that goes back to what Alex said a moment ago about, you know, when we are plunged beneath the waters of baptism, then we are, you know, it's an example of the death and then the burial and then the resurrection to newness of life in Christ. And I always find it interesting that a lot of pastors, and I'm going to say this as well, folks, if you're not a pastor and you have some, you have a child that's come to know Christ and they would ask you to baptism, it's okay, or baptism, to baptize them. It's okay. You can. It doesn't have to be just in the sanctuary. Now, the reason that so many are done in the sanctuary is because it is a, well, that wasn't me that time. All right. So so what happens there is it's done in the sanctuary because it's testimony to the other believers of what's happened in your heart. But you can be baptized in the swimming pool, you can be baptized in the creek, you can be baptized in the baptistry there in the in the sanctuary. The main thing that matters is that you have taken, just like it said there in 2 Corinthians, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And so that's why a lot of times you'll hear the pastor say, I raise you up into your newness of life. And you know, and then oftentimes said, who's going to pray that this person will succeed, you know, that will walk through their salvation? And of course, most of the church raises their hands and says, we will. And so that's just a great time for the body of Christ to celebrate. You know, Alex, I think one of the things that happens to us sometimes, and I'm going to throw it back to you after this, is we forget that when somebody comes to Christ, when somebody professes Christ as Savior, there is a celebration among the angels in heaven. The Scripture tells us that.
Amen.
But most of the time from the church, it just stifles you on, and folks say, you know, I wish they'd quit coming down because it's lunchtime. You know, it's 12:15. And so I think we got to go back and find that newness of life that comes every time somebody comes to Christ, and then when they're baptized as part of their proclamation. So as we think about that, that's just one more aspect, is the believer's baptism has to follow the belief in Christ.
You know, I've often heard it said that baptism is the first step of obedience for a new believer.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember, you know, I had only been saved a little while, and I was watching Charles Stanley preach on this. And I mean, this is 30 years ago. And, you know, I realized that I needed to be water baptized, not so I would be more saved. I already was saved. I had accepted Christ in my room one night after a Bible study. But as Charles Stanley preached, and everything I've studied for 30 years validates this, Jim, it is a step of obedience for the new believer.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I led a man to Christ, and I asked if I could baptize him at the church where he now was going. And for weeks, he kind of put it off. And finally, I, you know, kind of confronted him about it. And he said, well, I'm just afraid of being under that water, you know. And I said, well, you're afraid of, like, drowning or something? And he said, well, yeah. And I said, well, you know, I've never lost one yet. And I said, just if you can trust Jesus with your soul for eternity, you can trust him for this on a Sunday morning. So let's do it. And do you know what? It really was a major change in his life. And so, my friend, if you are a Christian, and but you've never, you know, publicly witnessed to your faith and your fidelity to the local church by being baptized, whether it's fear of water or whether you might not think it's all that significant or something, do it, because it is a step of obedience.
Now, absolutely.
Yeah, and you know, let me throw something out here, and folks, really put your thinking cap on. The gospel, the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus for the sins of the world, that's 1 Corinthians 15:3-5, the good news of the gospel, that the Son of God died on the cross, rose from the dead, paid for our sins, the gospel is different than water baptism. And I want to illustrate this, because Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17, because they were disputing on who baptized whom. And Paul said, listen, if you're going to brag about what, you know, preacher or apostle baptized you, Paul said, I'm glad I didn't baptize any more of you than what I did. He said this, and this is a huge, 1 Corinthians 1:17, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So if water baptism were necessary for salvation, and I know, you know, some people say, look, if you don't get water baptized, you can't go to heaven. And we disagree with that. I mean, think about the thief on the cross.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus said, this day you'll be with me in paradise. So if water baptism was the gospel, I mean, think about, Paul was essentially saying in 1 Corinthians 1 that he's glad fewer people were converted. But no, the gospel that saves, you put your faith in Jesus, that's separate from that step of believer's obedience to be water baptized. And so we want to make that really clear.
Amen. And while we're getting into the front part of this, you know, we oftentimes say that salvation is an individual experience, that God doesn't have grandchildren, he doesn't have nieces or nephews, he only has children. And so when we come back, one of the topics we're going to talk about is infant baptism and what that means. Stick around as we continue to talk about baptism here on Exploring the Word on AFR.
This is Pause to Pray, a moment each day to pray for our country's leaders.
Today we pray for Secretary Ann M. White from the Department of Environmental Management. Ms. White oversees the department that oversees the cleanup of our nation's nuclear weapons complex, focusing on radioactive and toxic waste. The department has successfully cleaned up 90 sites, with another 17 to go. Psalm 95:5 reminds us of the importance of caring for the world, because God created it. The sea is His, for He made it, and His hands form the dry land. Right now, with this in mind, let's pray together. Almighty God, we ask you to guide Secretary White as she works to ensure the safe cleanup of our nation's nuclear sites. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pause to Pray is a service of the Presidential Prayer Team, a nonprofit, nonpartisan ministry dedicated to encouraging prayer for our nation's leaders. To learn more, go to pausetopray.org.
Financial pressures can fracture your marriage, but Dr. Tony Evans says they don't have to. We'll discover the difference some godly planning can make as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
Proverbs 24:27 says, don't build your home until you first have got your plan. Nobody goes build a home without having a plan first. Just throw some bricks together and throw some wood together and hope it works out fine. You got an architectural drawing. You go through details. And you go through details. We had a brother, he was in the first service. He came to me, you know, the job not working out. He wasn't able to find employment, you know, but everything was out of order. We sat down, we got things back in order, got him and his wife. They were having all kind of conflicts because there wasn't the money and she had the burden and all of that and he wasn't finding a job. We spent 1 hour walking through, reorienting your thing to God, went home, prayed with his wife. They got on the same page spiritually about this issue. A week later, he got the job of his dreams because now God was the source, things were in order, so the home was no longer in conflict. Because I'm going to tell you now, if you are married and you and your mate are fighting over money, forget asking God to help. God says your prayers will not be answered because you're out of order. I know this is hard to accept for many, but it's like getting in shape. It's hard, but when you start losing weight, it's worth it. So this means a resetting, a recalibrating of your priorities and start again the right way.
Learn to follow the biblical blueprint God laid out for husbands and wives. Check out Tony's books, Kingdom Man and Kingdom Woman, available online at tonyevans.org. Then join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
This is Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
Everybody here looking for a Bible in our own hearts and across the land. Everybody looking for a Bible. Lift up your voice.
All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. And that's Amen. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Alex, one of the things there in that scripture is it's an injunction for us to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them once they've become believers. And so that brings me to the topic of infant baptism.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that there are folks that believe if they have their child baptized when they are young, that they are saved. And I understand what I'm talking. I'm not talking about the 8, 9, 10-year-old child who says, hey, I know who Jesus is, and I want him to be my Savior, and I want to be baptized and follow Christ and follow him throughout school. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the toddler or the infant, pardon me, who is being baptized and is being told as they grow that they've already been baptized and that they're saved. The premise of baptism and the believer's baptism is that you have to make a conscious choice to repent from sin and then to accept Christ as Savior. And Alex, the infant doesn't have the opportunity to do that, do they?
They don't. They don't. You know, I growing up Presbyterian, my parents, it was interesting, when I became a believer, they were happy for the change they saw in my life, but then I was going to be baptized at the church, Macedonia Baptist. And my parents were a little put off at that because they said, well, we baptized you when you were a baby at 6 weeks old. And both my parents were saved. They're both gone on now, Jim, but you know, I talked and, you know, I didn't really know anything too much about the Bible back then. I was a brand new believer. But I said, Mom and Dad, look, as an infant, yes, I was sprinkled and you call it christening, but I wasn't a believer yet. In fact, at 6 weeks old, you know, my little brain wasn't functioning on anything too much. And so, folks, I believe in baby dedication. Mm-hmm. In fact, Jim, as a pastor, I've led baby dedication services.
Right.
And we pray, and as a church, the family and the body of Christ, we covenant that to the best of our ability, we're going to point that child to Christ and live a role model, modeling Christ before the watching children. And so I get baby dedication, but really, folks, for the first 3 centuries of the church, there was no infant baptism. In fact, I've been to some archaeological sites in the Holy Land where churches are being excavated. It's amazing. They had, baptistries not too terribly different from baptistries today. In fact, Jim, I was at an archaeological site of a second century church, and there was steps where you could walk down in it and steps on the other end where you could walk about. Mm. And it was clear the early church practiced baptism by immersion.
Mm-hmm.
And so let me say this. If you are trusting your eternity on the fact that as an infant you were, quote, baptized, we would just urge you to really make sure you're born again through faith in Christ, because sprinkling an infant, in fact, the word christening or to christen is a Latin, it comes from a Latin word that means to Christianize.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't outwardly throw water on somebody and Christianize them. They have to personally accept Christ in their life. And so, Jim, as much as I love the church, and Bert and I both say this a lot, I mean, you'll never meet two people more pro-church than Bert and Alex, but I really get uncomfortable at baby baptisms, because heaven forbid anyone is given false assurance,
right,
that sprinkling as an infant will be your ticket to heaven.
All right, here's and folks, it's kind of like I'm saying some things and then I'm interviewing Alex, and that's a style that I enjoy, because we have the unique opportunity to have someone that's dedicated their life to the study of Scripture. And he carries a doctorate of theology, and he has all kinds of resources. And so if I'm deferring to him, it's because I'm smarter than you may think I am. I'm smart enough to defer to him. But, Alex, when we look at that, and I don't say that to build him up falsely, because he deserves the respect.
I'm just
there.
A saved sinner who loves Jesus.
Amen. And and he's right. You know, we're both beggars, trying to show other beggars where the bread is, and that bread being the bread of life. Alex, some churches teach that you can't be baptized a second time. I would disagree with that, because if you were baptized as an infant, or you were baptized as a child and you didn't really know Christ as Savior, all you did was get wet, and mm-hmm. you had mentioned that earlier. So when you think about that, and even as an adult, you may have thought you had come to know Christ and you were baptized. But Alex, if someone comes to full knowledge of Christ and knows that everything before that was incomplete, wouldn't that continue to be the first step of obedience for them, to have the believer's baptism?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm going to quote a verse that you might not associate with this topic, but I want to try to tie it in. In Matthew 12, when Jesus was trying to encourage John the Baptist, Jesus quotes Isaiah 42:3, speaking of the coming Messiah. Isaiah wrote, "A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out." Now, if you've ever seen cattails, a reed that is almost dead and saturated with water, you can touch it and it'll fall over. I've done that. I've waded through creeks and ponds, and a bruised reed is something really, really fragile. Now, here's my point in this. Jesus is very merciful. And I've had people come to me, Jim, and they'd say, Alex, I was baptized 20 years ago, but I never did live it. I don't know that I knew it. I want to make sure I'm saved. I want to be everything Christ wants me to be. And would you baptize me? And it's my second baptism, but this time I've given my heart to Christ. My point, Jim, is this. If somebody is sincerely, with all they've got, they're trying to live for Christ, they want to yield every bit of their life to Christ, In other words, they're like that bruised reed that is just trying to find life. I don't think Jesus is going to say, you know, wrong, wrong, wrong. You were baptized 20 years ago and you weren't living it. You didn't know what you were doing. Mm-hmm. And no, in fact, I've had literally hundreds of people over the years that they want to make sure their salvation. They think they're saved. They hope they're saved, but let's nail it down. Let's make sure. And things like obedience. I've had people that they said, look, I struggled with this or that sin for years, or this area of my life was not fully yielded to Jesus. And the reason I say all this, I believe Christ receives us with open arms. Amen. Because John 6:37, he said, the one who comes to me, no, I will in no way cast out. And so I don't, if somebody's really sincerely given their life to Christ and they just want to go all the way, I don't have a problem rebaptizing somebody, Jim.
Amen. And I asked that question on purpose because, again, we don't want to pick apart other folks' denominations, or we don't want to pick apart how baptism is carried out. In fact, Alex and I talked about it before the program. We personally, now, let me back up. Let me speak for Jim Stanley here, because I know Alex prefers baptism by immersion. But what we agreed on was that if you were baptized by immersion, you were baptized by pouring, which means they poured a pitcher of water over your head, or you were baptized by sprinkling. If you have had the change in your heart of Jesus Christ as Lord, then that continues to be your public testimony of a change in your heart. And so while we believe that immersion is quote-unquote the best or correct baptism, the baptism has to follow the change of heart. So again, you can be poured on, you can be immersed, you can be sprinkled, you can be baptized in the pool, the river, the bathtub, the sanctuary, you know, a deep mud puddle. All of that doesn't matter if you haven't had that heart change, because again, all you're basically doing is getting wet. Mm-hmm. And we want, and there's another part of this that I want to talk about, Alex, and I know that we had talked about it on the phone. You know, John the Baptist baptized with water. And he said here, in indicating Christ, is the one that will baptize with the Spirit. And so the baptism of the Holy Spirit, if you will, is not necessarily a secondary event, but that's actually when God breathes the breath of life into the new believer and regenerates that spirit that had been separated from God. Mm-hmm. And that happens at the point of confession, doesn't it?
It does. I think you've said that very well. You know, Jim, it's interesting to talk about the early church because in the first several centuries of the church, I mean, to become a believer, I mean, to really come out as a disciple, a follower of Jesus, that was a big deal. And baptism services included, as far as church history tells us, that people would publicly renounce Satan, mm-hmm. and confess sin, and they would pray for the Holy Spirit of God to infill them. And I mean, when you were baptized publicly before the watching world, there was a line drawn in the sand. I mean, you were going to live for Christ, and if need be, you would die for Christ. And I want to make a distinction here. Of you quoted Matthew 28:18-20 there at the beginning, and we are to go into all the world and make disciples from every nation. A disciple, as I'm sure most people know, is a Jewish word that means a consistent, obedient, learning follower.
Mm.
And we weren't called just to make converts.
Right.
You know, a lot of people in America, they've prayed a prayer at summer camp, but there was not a lot of follow-through. Listen, folks, when we talk about being a Christian, becoming a believer, becoming a disciple of Jesus, it's not just that you recite the sinner's prayer, Lord, save me, and, you know, 40 years from now when I die, someday I'll go to heaven. No, a disciple every day, this is who you are. Praise God, and it's a joyful thing. You know, you were talking about the rejoicing of the angels in heaven when somebody gets saved. There's an old gospel hymn, and you know, my friend Jim Stanley is quite musical, and I bet Jim is going to know this song. Do you remember, and boy, this is a good one, there's a new name written down in glory.
And it's mine? Yes,
do you remember
mine.
That song?
Yes, sir.
See, that is a great song. I mean, it is a celebration when somebody has become a disciple, isn't it?
Yes, sir, it is. And, you know, it's interesting that you talked about that, because that goes back to what we said earlier. So many times it seems like today, church is something we simply check off the box. We've done it this week. We've done what we needed to do. And now the rest of the week, we can go out and do what we want. And I'm guilty of that sometimes. I mean, because I want to be very clear. I don't want to sound pious and that I've got everything right all the time, because that's not the case, you know. And I have to say this, because I'm an avid shooter. I enjoy going and shooting.
I didn't know that about you.
Yes, sir. Now, I would like to be an avid hunter, but stealth is not in my profile. I'm just telling you, I don't sneak up on anything. It knows I'm coming. But going to the shooting range and shooting is something that I enjoy doing, and I want to be proficient at it. Well, you know, if I spent as much time reading my Bible and taking and applying, and this is a general observation for everyone that might be listening. If we take that time doing what we enjoy the most and apply it to our spiritual life, to becoming a disciple, that's something that we should, as Alex said, we should strive to do every day. Well, you know, the more I practice, the better shot I become.
Amen.
Well, guess what? By the same token, the more time we spend in Scripture, the more time we do the things that Scripture says to do, the more that we try and make disciples, guess what we're going to do? We're going to get closer to hitting that X ring.
Exactly. Exactly. That is good. And so, you know, anything is like a muscle. The more you exercise, the stronger, the more proficient you'll become. And same thing with evangelism and discipleship. Now, let me just say one thing about being baptized into Christ. Mm. Because when we've had the question, Jim, do you have to be baptized to go to heaven? I'm going to say yes and no.
Right.
No, you don't have to be water baptized to be born again. Although, if you have been born again, it's the right thing to do. But there are verses like Galatians 3:27 that speaks about being baptized into Christ. And Romans 6, verse 3 says that believers have been baptized into Christ and into his death. Now, the reason I bring this up is because the New Testament uses the word baptism in two senses. There's water baptism, the public declaration of your faith.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's to be in Christ, to be immersed in Jesus, to be in the Sabbath rest, who is the Lord of the Sabbath, to be baptized into Christ. Colossians 2, buried with him in baptism and raised up with him through faith in the working of God. So if you are born again in the sense of Romans and Colossians and Galatians, and 1 Peter 1 talks about, you have been baptized or put into Christ. So in that sense, yes, absolutely.
Right.
But water baptism as a service at the church, that's a different thing.
That's right. 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. We will take your Bible questions right after this, as Exploring the Word continues on American Family Radio.
A false balance is an abomination to the Lord. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. Venezuelan socialist strongman Nicolas Maduro has recently unleashed his military to shoot aid workers and has burned food trucks seeking to feed the starving and desperate Venezuelan people. He is a brutal dictator. Yet Bernie Sanders, who's running for president again, by the way, refused to identify him as such. Bernie acknowledged Maduro's recent election wasn't democratic, but he refused to say Maduro was a dictator. Why? because Bernie knows the collapse of the formerly oil-rich nation is a striking example of national socialism. By condemning Maduro, Bernie implicates himself. If Venezuela is socialist, why would America want it?
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
AFR's own J.J. Jasper is a morning on-air personality, author, comedian, Christian, and family man. J.J.'s also a keynote speaker at banquets, men's ministry events, pregnancy center fundraisers, and more. Here's what others are saying.
Hi, this is Nancy Wesley, Executive Director of the Pregnancy Care Clinic in Salem, Illinois. J.J.'s helped us set a record for the most funds raised at our banquet.
Information on J.J.'s availability to speak at your event is at jjjasper.com.
There's a lot happening around us. That's why Christians need to stand strong on family values and morality. Hi, I'm Ray Rooney, editor of The Stand, a blog from the American Family Association. The Stand has timely, carefully written articles on relevant cultural issues that you can quickly forward to others. The Stand is a beacon of light to a society in need of direction. Visit afa.net/thestand.
Today, March 7th, is National Cereal Day and revives a story from 1904. Corn Flakes, a new invention of the Kellogg brothers, were being served at Battle Creek Sanitarium. One of the patients, businessman C.W. Post, saw the potential and rushed his own version to market, calling it Elijah's Manna.
The cereal box depicted a scene from the Bible, 1 Kings chapter 17, when a raven brought food to the prophet, but the artwork was deemed sacrilegious and sales fell.
Post defended himself, citing other biblical references from daily life. He said, "Perhaps no one should eat angel food cake, live in St. Paul, nor work for Bethlehem Steel."
His rebuttal was unsuccessful, and the name of Elijah's Manna was changed to Post Toasties.
The Bible impacts so many facets of our lives.
Brought to you by Museum of the Bible in Washington, D.C.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
I am redeemed.
The only person who can wipe away every stain, the only person who can wash you clean and proclaim you as redeemed is Jesus. Amen. And that's what we've been talking about today. We've been talking about Jesus and what happens after you've been redeemed. That's when we move into baptism. That's when we move into the baptism of Jesus and then into the water baptism as well. And folks, I hope that this has been as beneficial to you as it has to me today, because I have thoroughly enjoyed our conversation. Well, Alex, shall we go to the phone lines?
888-589-8840, folks. We'd love to hear from you.
All right, let's talk to Tommy, calling from Ohio. Tommy, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Hello. Good to talk to you. I got a comment about once saved, always saved. Now, when Jesus was on this earth, and he was with his disciples. His disciples didn't believe, and he rebuked them, of course, but then he saved them again. So they're in heaven with us. So what I'm trying to say is over 20 years ago, I was born again Christian. I know I was, because my heart was changed. My life was changed. And the very next day after I took a thing called the Steps of Freedom in Christ, soon after that, probably wasn't a month after that, my church broke up, so I ended up going back up in the wilderness, and I've been struggling ever since to get back. But I know that the Spirit is calling me, even after 20-some-odd years later, the Spirit still calls me, and I still talk with the Spirit, and I still have fruits of the Spirit, like this discernment that I have. It's so strong, it actually drives me crazy.
Well, Tommy, I appreciate your call this afternoon, and I appreciate your forthrightness. Alex, I interrupted you. I'm sorry.
Well, if you're hearing the Spirit call you and you're feeling conviction and you really want to get this thing settled, then that's a great thing, because that's the Lord reaching out to you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, whether you were truly born again or whether you believe you could be saved and lose it, regardless of that, the point is right now, I want to urge you to make sure of your salvation and turn to Christ and admit that you're a sinner and say, Lord, I'm sorry for my sins. I believe Jesus, the Son of God, paid for the sins of everybody on the cross, but for me. Mm-hmm. Believe that he did that for you, because he did, and then call on his name right now. And, you know, a lot of verses we could give you, but the point is, I love John 6:40. Jesus said, if you see the Son, and that means to see and comprehend, you understand, you need Christ, and believe in him, you will have eternal life. So settle that right now, and I would just urge you to pray right now, and then get in a good Bible-believing church, and grow as a Christian, and for the rest of your life, follow Jesus.
Amen. Now, I want to follow up on that, too. Part of the thing that happened after his salvation, after he feels like he came to the Lord, he mentions his church broke up. Well, now, if you've ever been through a church split, that is a traumatic event.
That's not fun.
No, because both sides are claiming to be right. Both sides are claiming to be led by the Lord. And then both sides, you know, they split for whatever reason. It may be because the picture in the sanctuary has a picture of Adam and Eve, and they have navels. You know, there's sometimes church splits over the silliest things. And then there are also times when that church splits over serious things, over doctrinal issues. And so we don't want to make light of that. But what I would encourage you is, as you come back to Christ, as you yield to the urging of the Holy Spirit and pray as Alex asked you to, I would ask you to give your a local church another chance. Find Yes. one that preaches the Bible, that preaches salvation, that preaches about justification. That means just as if I had never sinned. Find a church that teaches those things and give your local church another try. Don't give up just because you had a bad experience 20 years ago. Because sometimes that's what happens, and we get sidelined thinking that was, you know, it's a horrible experience to go through, but there is a way back. Robert, welcome to Exploring the Word. Hello, Robert.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Yes. Yes, this is Robert. Good afternoon, gentlemen. May God continue to anoint you through the power of the Holy Spirit into all wisdom and understanding of the truth of his word, and provide you the platform to spread it to the world, in Jesus' name.
God bless you, man.
I would like to make some comments and get your theological opinion on it. In the Old Testament, Israel left Egypt. They went through the Red Sea. That was their infant baptism. They did not understand their salvation or their inheritance at that time. This is borne out through what happened in the wilderness, the golden calf. They sent the spies in. The spies came back with a bad report, all except Caleb and Joshua. So they didn't understand salvation and their inheritance. Then years later, 40 years later, they arrive at the Jordan River, and they go through the water again. This is their maturity baptism. They understand where their salvation and inheritance comes from. After they cross the Jordan, and incidentally, this is an army preparing for war, the first thing they do in that preparatory effort is to receive circumcision, which symbolizes the circumcision of the heart that the New Testament talks about. So they went through a second baptism going through the Jordan, and then they came into the promised land and the inheritance. And consequently, it was a time of high water. And it also speaks, when it talks about John the Baptist was baptizing, he was baptizing in the regions of the Jordan because there was plenty of water, which speaks to immersion. anyway, those are, that's not the form of a question. Those are just some thoughts that I had and would like to hear your comments.
All right, Robert, thank you for sharing those. Alex, you know, the reference back to the Red Sea and the Jordan River for the children of Israel, that was an interesting concept.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, thank you for calling, because I really think, in a way, you're talking about what are sometimes called types or pictures, T-Y-P-E-S, mm-hmm. types. In the Old Testament, there were a lot of pictures and examples of things that would become crystal clear in the New Testament. And if you've ever heard Bert or me talking about Old Testament leaders that were a type of Christ or a picture, you know, Joseph in Genesis 37 through 45 and Genesis 50, and King Solomon, who really brought peace to the earth, and King David, the greatest king of Israel, and Isaac, you know, being sacrificed by Abraham. Those are pictures, and I agree with you, and I'll give you even another one. You know, going through the Red Sea, you go under the water, you come out alive, having escaped Pharaoh's army. Well, the believer that's baptized into Christ has escaped death and sin. But, you know, even go all the way back to Genesis 1 and 2. It says, the Spirit of God moved over the waters, and out of the waters and out of the darkness came land and creation. So, Jim, one of the pictures of God's work in the world and in the life of a person has been water and, you know, life coming up. New life. And so these are pictures. One thing I would say, you know, sometimes in the zeal to find good symbology and pictures of things, people, sometimes it can get a little bit strained or forced. And so I think there are a lot of ones that are pretty clear, but then sometimes we force the text to say things it doesn't say. So just in looking at the Old Testament pictures, be careful that we don't push it too far.
Amen. Good stuff. Ruth calling from Mississippi. Ruth, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Hi there. Good afternoon, brothers. Well, I'm hurting right now, so y'all bear with me, okay? My birthmark condition, God's healed it. Well, now it's started again, but anyway, I'm hanging in there. Okay, of course I agree with everything y'all saying, because we're kindred spirits, because y'all my brothers in the Lord, and God shows us truth, and we know the truth. But my question is, and I love Church of Christ people. I have some dear friends and folks that I know that are of Church of Christ faith. But what I'd like to know, and I'm quite sure that y'all have spoken with some Church of Christ you know, Christians before, and what is their reasoning as to being that the thief, okay, you know, most importantly is that we're baptized by God's Holy Spirit, born again of the Spirit, then yes, I do believe that God would like us to be baptized, immersed in water, but that is not a have to, that is not a mandatory requirement to complete the plan of salvation. Well, what is the Church of Christ folks' reasoning that y'all have heard from them as to their reasoning that the thief wasn't immersed in water, but he was going to be, Jesus said he would be with him in paradise? And I just like y'all's thoughts on that, please. Thank you. I love y'all.
Bless you, Ruth. Sister. That's very sweet of you. Alex, you know, we mentioned earlier that we weren't going to try and pick apart denominations and everything, and you know, for the folks with the Church of Christ, baptism takes on a different significance, if you will, a different level of importance. And so perhaps, if you will, as gently as you can, kind of break that down for us.
Well, good call. Let me just say this. In the 19th century, after the Second Great Awakening, and we've talked about this, and this is important to understand for American church history. There was a lot of movements of what were called restoration movements, and there were different people who felt like, you know, Christianity has strayed and it's gotten kind of off the path, and we are going to get things right. And there were a number of denominations and some that really digressed into almost cults. And I'm not saying that of the Church of Christ, but the Church of Christ was part of the mid to late 19th century restoration mindset. You know, denominations are wrong, the church has, you know, gotten out in the weeds, and we're going to fix it. And but one of their tenets was baptismal regeneration. In other words, water baptism. Now, again, let's be very distinct. To put your faith in Jesus is to be baptized into Christ. But the Church of Christ, and I know there's one of their seminaries is here in my home state of North Carolina, and whenever I get down in that part of the state and preach, we've had a few protesters come that, because I have taught that you can go to heaven without being water baptized, that, you know, they would protest sometimes when I would preach down east. But the point is this, the thief on the cross, generally they would say, well, that's a different dispensation. That's before the empty tomb, and so he was an Old Testament saint.
Mm-hmm.
But when the Son of God says today, you'll be with me in paradise, don't split hairs, Old Testament, New Testament, Old Covenant, New Covenant. Jesus said, upon that man's faith, you will be with me in paradise. And all that thief said was, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. I think that's sort of a contrivance to say, well, that's old covenant, because the fact is it was, he simply put his trust in Jesus, and that was, commensurate with salvation.
Amen.
But you look at all the other corpus of the verses, John 3:16 and Acts 16:31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. I think an incredibly strong case can be made that it's our faith in Christ, not any human work that we do.
Amen. Michael calling from Louisiana. Michael, you're our last caller for the day, and folks, if you didn't get your question in, you can join us again tomorrow for Fire Away Friday, or you can send us an email to word@afr.net, and of course you can find us on Facebook as well. Michael, good afternoon, and thanks for calling.
Yes, sir. I was calling concerning the statement that was made earlier. I'm a new listener to your program, and if we look at America, sir, what had happened, whether it was a local ministry or a national ministry, what has happened to America is that we as people have left the foundation and the principles of God. That's why we have a major breakdown in America in our Christian churches.
I would not disagree with that.
Huh?
I would not disagree with that.
I think you're right on, brother.
And see, that's the problem. That's why we have a lot of misleading information in our local legislatures and governments and every aspect of our lives, because we have left God out of the picture. And that's why we have so many broken marriages, broken homes, kids going astray, because we as pastors and believers is afraid to speak on the things that we need to speak about.
You know, Pastor Michael, I'm going to tell you again, I don't think you would find us in disagreement with you on that as well. And we do appreciate your call. And we do need, and you've heard us. And by the way, I heard you say you're a new listener. We're thankful for that.
Amen.
I'm going to throw it to you, Alex. But we talk about revival all the time. And we're not just talking about a revival that makes us feel warm and fuzzy. We're talking about a revival that sets America back on the path that God had intended for it. Alex?
Psalm 33:12 says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom he has chosen as his inheritance or heritage. Folks, if you're all about revival and the gospel as we are, keep your radio tuned to American Family Radio. And we'll be back again tomorrow with more Exploring the Word. God bless you, and thank you for listening.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily